Easy no, you don't need figure down. Easy no, no need figure down. Rock that, run that, this away from. Easy no, you don't need figure down.
Ah, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you.
What are you doing?
I feel like you're off beat.
You started in with the country version of it. I'm saying, people, you messing up the whole group, like.
But by the way, speaking of country music, I want to shout out the hardest working man in country radio, Post Malone, today. I heard his new single on the way to taking my daughter to school today. He actually did it with a little known artist, Luke Combs. Standing on his own two cowboy boots there.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If you're going to say that about Post Malone, you better use somebody else other than Luke Combs, who one of his biggest hits was a song he sampled.
Yeah, but he was already made. He was already made.
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay, guess what?
He was already made,
man. Post Malone was already made, too.
He was already made, man.
So did Post Malone.
Yeah, but not in this genre, you know? And by the way, he made...
That's why he has a luxury to jump around.
What's that?
That's why he has the luxury to jump around, because he was already made somewhere else, and he had that. He has all those credits, and now he's able.
He's
to,
not. He's not doing it though.
That's why everybody wants to work with him.
Huh?
Everybody wants to work with him for that reason.
Cash, baby. And by the way, I mean Tracy Chapman. You know she wasn't upset about it. I mean, how much cash does she made over the last year from Intangible's version of Fast Car?
Oh my goodness.
Come on.
You know, first of all, she's not an artist that's out there that much anyway.
Hey, nobody hates an unexpected check, dude.
Whoa. Put that one back up. Haven't heard this one before. Post Malone is talented, but he's a culture vulture.
I feel like that's the number one Post Malone criticism, is not that he's not talented, but I'm, you know.
These are your minions, and I'm pretty sure these are all accounts.
You ought to do like I do.
What's that?
Right? I turn on the radio, I hear good music, I listen to it, and I appreciate it. I don't care about all the twists.
I would appreciate it.
Only thing I like doing as an older person is I like giving credit where credit is due. If it's a remake or what have you, or a sample song, I like knowing the original artist. That's it.
I would say that the Post Malone Luke Combs song would be good. A little more Luke Combs, a little less Post. That's all I'm saying, baby.
But Post Malone is first. So it's like he's the... It's like, for example, Rihanna does collabs with a lot of people that pay her a lot of money to collab with them.
She makes the song.
But it's their song.
Yeah, but no, but you don't have a song until Bad Girl Riri's on the song.
Oh my goodness, dude!
What?
I was just telling.
Okay, I have a question. Does Rihanna actually write her songs?
Doesn't matter. She makes them. There's a uniqueness to her. I mean, it's them pipes.
Well, because listen.
And I'm not hating on Rihanna. I love Rihanna.
No, like you are.
They didn't know you hated Rihanna.
Taylor Swift is a unicorn.
Marcos?
Taylor Swift is a unicorn because she does everything herself.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that don't write their own music. And that's fine. Right? I'm more than sure that... what's her name? Didn't write her country album.
Who? Beyonce?
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing with Beyonce. Beyonce didn't hop on an album with a bunch of made people in country. She just did Queen Bey stuff.
She did collabs. She did do collabs on
like Shaboozy before Shaboozy made it.
No, her album came out after Shaboozy.
No, Shaboozy's first album came out after Queen Bey. Bar Song gives out, but Bar Song really didn't take off till after Texas Hold'em. It's true, dude.
Beyonce doesn't write her songs.
I didn't say she did.
Yeah, but guess what? Post Malone does. and does a lot of his own production.
He writes a lot of checks too to get these heavy hitters on his songs. I'll tell you that much.
Such a hater.
And if you really want to get down to it, there's been two artists that have done all the instruments, all the production, all the writing on the whole album. You know who they were? They were Prince and Beck. The year Beck won Artist of the Year when Kanye West went crazy.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right. I'm like, wow, the dude made a whole album in a room by himself and Kanye just trashed him. You don't, like, come on, just enjoy the music. Who cares? Like, let me ask you a question. You like hot dogs?
I like who?
Hot dogs.
I want to know where this
is going. Yeah, of course. Who
doesn't like hot dogs? You ever seen how they were made?
I've seen probably some videos on it. Not really. Not really.
You don't care. Right? You like hot dogs.
Does it look
like I care?
Why can't
you do that with music? See? No. Wasn't me. Wasn't me.
He just tried to get there before you and Schmeath.
That's right. And I'm just telling you this. I'm telling you, I'm never calling a hot dog a glizzy.
Look, there's only one.
I forget that.
There's only one amongst us is an artist, and that's Art God Savvy, who's written an album himself.
So true. So true.
What do you think, Frog Boy? Is this valid criticism of him hopping into a genre? And should we care if people write their own stuff or not? Because I got to be honest with you, I can name the top five movie stars of all time. I don't know if I can name the top five movie writers of all time.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't think... I think sometimes the songwriting thing kind of gets thrown a little bit too much. You do get extra credit, but, you know, a little... You get half a point.
I mean, if you sound like a horse when you open your mouth...
You
like,
get one point. Exactly. You know,
there's a lot of artists that started as writers...
They just don't want to.
That ended up being...
Yes.
Artists.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Right? A lot, especially in the rap game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah. They're, like,
I would feel weird, however.
Okay, let me give you an example here. I'll get to you in a second.
Oh, no, I hate your examples. I hate this.
You familiar with Andre 3000?
Oh, yeah. Love him. Heard of him.
He made an album completely with flute just because he wanted to. He didn't do it with Kenny G to get into the jazz game.
Wait, Kenny G thousand.
Nobody want to hear Andre 3000 making a song.
No, that'd be pretty good.
But I will say this: he's more of an artist than a rapper.
But that's what I'm saying. But like, he didn't ride. He didn't like hop in and be like, "Boys, I'm in the jazz game." You know. Brass Kings, let's go. Let's get after it. You know, like he didn't need, he's just like, I'm gonna do jazz. So if like Post Malone wanted to do country, I'd be like, I got nothing against it.
Yeah.
Just like Queen Bey. But he's like, yeah.
But Post Malone started doing collabs long before he started doing country. So it's kind of his continuation into
his coattail riding.
I was gonna say, so he's always been a coattail rider. I would feel weird if Harry Styles decided he was going to rap and then his album had Lil Baby, had Gunna, Young Thug.
He's not talented enough to do that.
How dare you speak on Harry Styles' name?
I'm just saying, you? He's not talented enough to go through that.
I wouldn't say talented. I would just say range.
Wow. What range? Like, I'm not saying he's not talented. He's not that talented.
Ooh.
Like, there's certain artists that can go through all genres and still make good music.
Shams Bomb.
They're more talented than somebody that can only stick in one genre. Just the facts.
ESPN reporting. Inside the Philadelphia 76ers team meeting Monday amid 2-11 start in which a star challenged Joel Embiid.
Wow.
Tobin, were you in that meeting?
Woo!
Because I picture you calling. Tell you what your problem is. I tell you why you're 2'11", because you got a 7-foot guy that plays like he 2 foot tall because he always laying on the ground.
The headline is sources: Tyrese Maxey challenges Joel Embiid in 76ers team meeting.
Whoa,
juicy!
Dang, dude.
He is Mr. Energy, too, so ain't much nobody going to say to him.
Enjoy that, Caleb Martin. Sorry.
Poor Caleb Martin. If you leave for less money and you think you're going to be on a good team.
Yeah, didn't he look like he missed Miami as he was hugging?
He did. Yeah. No, he definitely did, J-Vig. He looked like he missed Miami. Everybody was hugging him. Everybody loved him. Spo was like,
every time
we're gonna
he finished a hug, it was just like regret in his face.
Okay, Caleb, I got to go now. No, just a little longer.
Just hold me.
I don't want to go back to Paul George.
Give him credit, though. He hit my overs yesterday. So, you know, he did his thing.
Well, he took advantage. I'll tell you one thing. He took advantage of tired Tyler Hero because Tyler had no legs in that first half.
Yep.
And he was getting blown by like a turnstile.
Hey, yeah. And you always know when it's coming. You know why? Because Tyler thinks he could play better defense if he getting that good defensive stance. He gets low.
Like, right, we'll get
you
more.
Watch him. Next time you watch a game, watch him when he playing good defense and he moving around and he's got his legs under him. And watch him when he trying to play good defense.
Dade Sass says, stories like that are basketball blue chew for Tobin. You're damn right they are. We'll take a break. We'll dive more and make fun of the Sixers, and we'll hear a little bit from Jimmy and Tyler after the game. Back after this. Better than your average. Pop a twist, cabbage off instinct. It's don't think, stink, pink gators. My Detroit players. Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. That's dead right. If the head right, Biggie there, and I. Tobin and Leroy here with you. We got a pair of tickets to give away to Papa Roach and Rise Against. J-Vig is going to reach into her bag of tickets and give those away. They're coming to I Think Financial Amphitheater in 2025, and we'll give those away before the end of the show. Got a mixed bag coming on up here in just a bit. Yesterday, the Miami Heat, they beat the holy hell out of the Sixers.
Yeah, they did.
Beat them down.
Pummeled them.
Heat were down 19 at one point, but yeah. Then Spo's played people who weren't tired. And it all turned around. The Sixers, I don't know what's going on with them, dude. I mean, they are a disaster. But Jimmy Butler, he gives them 30 in his return. Got to the free throw line 13 times. He was an absolute menace. And Tyler Hero, he scored 18 points, 16 of them in the third quarter. And I believe they outscored him. Was it 35-14, Marcos? You remember what the difference was?
In the third quarter, but I don't know if it was 35-14 exactly. That's very close. I know Tyler alone had 16, if I'm not mistaken.
It was, but they beat him by like 20. The margin was like 20 in the third quarter and just took off.
By the way, we haven't mentioned it. We won't let you forget Duncan Robinson. We know what you did. What you did. It was 35-16, by the way.
I knew that was a bad decision as soon as I saw the lane. I was thinking to myself, it's gonna get a little too froggy. Just finger roll that thing, dunks. And he tried to tomahawk it, and he tommed it.
About how long do you think jokes were made? Because it looked like they wanted to laugh, but they were a little supportive. it looked like they were supportive.
Well, he's gonna win Shaq than a fool.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh my goodness.
He's gonna win Shaq to the fool this week. This we know. And it's unfortunate because you know that's I like his
aggressiveness.
Me too. He had a beautiful
limitations.
He had a beautiful like bucket off the window over Joel Embiid, but this one he had the it was cleared for takeoff. But you need to be able to take off.
It's a problem.
I mean, he is a tall dude. So he is a tall dude. Not that much.
Totally fair, but
the problem is he tried to take off too far.
Yeah,
right. It's like sometimes Jimmy goes to dunk, he just does a gentle two hand stuff.
I don't know. You know, I don't know if I've ever seen him dunk. Has he dunked? He's had one dunked.
Oh yeah.
Has he dunked
in that fashion?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Into the rim.
You know what? I'm gonna blame the road trip for poor Duncan. That's a back to back. That's a back to back night. You know. Now, Shaq and a fool don't care.
Oh, yeah.
They don't put up the schedule on Shaq and a fool. But Tyler's obviously had an amazing season. Ask Jimmy Buckets about Tyler's season after the game, Leroy. And this led to a little debate amongst Jimmy and Tyler about who is the best scorer on the team. Vibes were high.
I kind of alluded to Tyler, but you know, as many years as you've had with him, you're seeing the year that he's having. Have you seen improvements, growth? What have you seen from Tyler this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's a prolific scorer and can score on all levels. It's actually really impressive. But more than anything, I like the fact, and I think we all like the fact, that he takes a challenge on defense more. Like, he wants to guard somebody and then go down there and give them 30, 40, however many that may be. We want him to keep playing like that. We always have. He's without a doubt one of the best scorers on this team. I'm not going to say he is the best, but he can get a bucket. That's for damn sure. I beat you one-on-one in training camp, so don't talk to me.
Don't say one of them. It's either one or...
Spo, who's 1A?
Who's 1B?
My boy.
Look at those two. Adorable rascals.
Hey, so why Jimmy dressed like Prince in Purple Rain?
Okay, wait. I was
what is going on?
I do like the red braids, though. I do like the red braids.
Yeah, but
listen,
he had to wear the black because the red didn't match the outfit.
Must have.
That side of the locker room is very into their baggy pants. and I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
I don't know. Change. I don't know. Now, they have good vibes. The Sixers. Storyline, ESPN, Shams. Tyrese Maxey calls out Joel Embiid in team meeting. Oh, yeah. Amid the 2-11 start that has them in last place in the Eastern Conference, with their star trio of Joel Embiid, Paul George, and Tyrese Maxey yet to play together in a game, the Sixers held a team meeting on Monday after their 106-89 loss to the Heat. The loss to the Heat was the fourth in a row for the Sixers, sparking veteran Kyle Lowry to call for a team meeting, a much-needed heart-to-heart and call to action and urgency, sources told ESPN, in which both players and coaches held each other accountable and took fault for the start of the season. In the meeting, Tyrese Maxey challenged Embiid to be on time to team activities, calling out the former league MVP about being late, quote, for everything, and how it impacts the locker room from other players to coaching staff, sources briefed on the meeting told ESPN. Now here's the juice. Here's the load of crap. Maxey and Embiid have a close friendship and have a history of holding each other accountable, according to those sources around the team. Quote, Tyrese loves big fella, but this is an elephant in the room, a person involved in the meeting told ESPN. Players told 76ers coach Nick Nurse that they want to be coached harder, and the coaches in turn want the players to practice with a purpose and attention to detail. Embiid accepted the message sent in the meeting, but he stated that he is confused about what the Sixers are attempting to execute sometimes on the court.
Well, it's hard to execute anything with your big ass laying on the ground. Let's start there. I will tell you how these things go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kyle goes over to Maxey. Hey, man, we going to have a team meeting. And you the closest to big fella. You going to have to call him out. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We can't call him out. We just got here or whatever. But y'all cool. And you got to hold him accountable. And that's how that goes. It wasn't a situation where he just went out. It was a situation where a group of guys wanted to go at him, but they didn't feel they had the place to go after him. So they recruited the only guy that could call him out. That's how it works.
I get you. Hey, I'm not arguing with you. I just think this is a terrible look for this team.
But here's the funny thing is that, is it going to turn around because of the meeting, or is it going to turn around when Maxey gets back?
I don't know.
See what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Because you replace Maxey. Think about this. You're going to replace Kyle Lowry with Maxey.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to change the dynamic of your team right away.
Maybe. But, like, it's not Maxey I'm worried. It's not, I mean, like, if you told me, like, hey, the Sixers are going to have.
We all know. Everybody knows.
Like, if
everybody
you,
knows.
You know how embarrassing that is, though? Like, what is Maxey, 22? 23?
Everybody knows what the issue is on that team. It can bring in all the other superstars. They can pay veterans. They can bring – it all operates under what the hell is Joel Embiid going to do?
Well, here's the juicy thing, all right? If we could play a little pop psychologist here.
Oh my God.
After the game. No, what? Why? Don't do that. Don't dismiss me already.
These don't end well.
Well, after the game, all right, he was asked about Jimmy Butler. Joel Embiid was, right? And we know Joel, he loves Jimmy Butler. Oh, my goodness. He loves him some Jimmy Butler. Right, Leroy?
Yep.
So one has to wonder because, I mean, the media is waiting around for an hour. Joel Embiid, he's getting called out. Mind you, he's probably, I know how this Joel Embiid thinks, right? He's like, I played sick. I played through something. You guys are being mean to me. Boo! I know exactly how this guy's thinking, all right? Nobody needs to tell me. But he was asked about Jimmy Butler after the game. And Joel Embiid, I mean, the love he was giving to Jimmy Buckets after this, I mean, now that we know, a chewing out from his teammates. Could be something.
You know, commanding, you know, while being on the floor, you know, both sides of the floor, you know, one of the best players in the league, probably top five, probably the best, actually, best player in the league. So, I mean, you gotta, you know, he's hard. He's hard to guard. You know, it takes a whole team. And, you know, I thought he did a good job of, you know, like I said, find, you know, just finding a way to, you know, either score or make a play for the teammates. And, you know, they did knock down, you know, shots, you know, in those positions. So, like I say, you know, amazing basketball player.
Wow. Jeez. Jimmy Butler might be the best player in the league.
Fawning.
Right after him. All of your team fawning over him. The one that got away. And Joel Embiid's now got all his teammates being meanies to him.
Mm. At the right price.
Hey.
Interesting.
Grow up, Peter Pan.
What?
What?
Grow up, Peter Pan.
Nah, he was what do you mean over him.
Are you talking about Joel?
Joel Embiid, he is accustomed to calling people out. He's been the one to always call people out. His ass got called out. So what?
He does call people out. You're right about that.
That's
very
that's
busy Twitter fingers.
Right. That's how it goes. So he got to eat it. He knows what part of that is accurate. Now, I will say this. If somebody called him out, you notice it wasn't about his play. So he can't talk about being hurt. It was about him being all there.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So the players know. It ain't the players calling him out for what happened on the court.
Oh, you mean something like showing up hung over from a weekend in Miami to practice on the day before?
Who did
and
that?
Then is like, well, I'm just putting two and two together, right? He had an illness. And then all of a sudden, dude, magic elixir, bang. He's going to give it a go.
If Jimmy and Joel were on the same team,
mm-hmm.
would they play 40 games together?
I don't know what they did that year. I mean, the younger Jimmy, obviously.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying?
This guy hasn't shut up about Jimmy Butler since he's left.
It happens. It happens. Ooh. It happens. Like, it don't mean you can't move on.
Hey, Maxi, I'm telling you right now, dude, watch it.
Maxi, he ain't got nothing to worry about.
I don't know, dude. I don't. Hey.
Nothing to worry about.
Neither. Nobody ever thinks that think they have anything. But let me tell you something. The next time they fall short in a series, I'm going to tell you, if Maxi shoots anything under 50%, old big fella over there, he is a certified bus driver, and he loves backing that thing.
If Maxi's shooting under 50%,
mm-hmm.
is because Joel Embiid is trying to shoot threes.
Yeah, but either way, it doesn't matter. Joel Embiid has thrown thrown every teammate under the bus that he has had.
Except Jimmy. And Tyrese. He haven't done it to Tyrese yet.
Yet. You said the key word there. The biggest short word, Leroy. Yet.
The what?
What? How about those Heat vibes, huh?
No. What the hell did you just say?
What did you say?
See. You know what you said? The biggest short word?
What?
What does that even mean?
It's a big word for me, dog.
Yet? They ain't too many smaller.
We'll take a break, mix things up, coming up next.
You probably think that you are better now, better now.
Everybody, Tobin and Leroy here with you. Whiskey Stars and Cigars is tomorrow, presented by WQAM and Edmore Sawgrass Automall. You guys can talk sports with the WQAM staff. We'll all be there. Our Silly Sauce Brigade, anybody who is there, come say hello. Frog Boy loves selfies, so, you know, get on over there, everybody. It is at Tabacone Cigars and Spirits at Plantation Walk. Enjoy a sample of Aberfeldy 12-year-old single malt scotch whiskey and a cigar from Drew Estate. That is this Wednesday at Tabacone Cigars and Spirits in Plantation Walk. It's presented by Edmore Sawgrass Automall, your 2023 Dealer of the Year. Sponsored by the main man. There's nobody better to help you flip your biz and cash out big than the main man. And by the injury law firm of Cohen and Judah, where a partner handles every single case. Call 866-FAIR-FEE. Let's get to the mixed bag, huh? The mixed bag is brought to you by Joel Embiid's Tears.
Ah, yes. The perfect mixer for my mint julep that I'll be having tomorrow.
Are you going to have a mint julep?
I really want to
like
try
Jerry
it.
Jones?
I never tried it. So.
I'm telling you, it's a redneck mojito.
I mean, I like that. So far. I thought it was going to be worse. When it, you know, I don't like mint and chocolate. I don't like mint and ice cream.
It's
so.
Different, Marcos.
Yeah, no, this is different. This is different. Because I don't mind me a mojito. But,
yeah, I would say a mojito's a little sweeter, but the mint is like the thing, you know? Yeah. That's what they like going on there.
All right.
Chris says, no, it is not. Somebody took it. Sounds like somebody feel judged.
Offensive.
Right. A little sensitive, huh, there, Chris? What do you got in the mixed bag today, Marcos?
I don't know, man. You tell me, dude. You tell me. You were there in person. I want to know if I should feel anything for this upcoming Marlins season. What I have to open up the mix bag is a little bit of audio from Bruce Sherman and Peter Bendix.
The Shermanator.
We're going to start with some Peter Bendix as he has a message for the fans. Very interested in hearing this message. Pete.
We're determined to win also. We want to win really soon. We want to win for a long time. We want to build something that is successful every single year, year in and year out. I think Clayton can be the right leader for that.
How far?
All right. I hope that he is.
At least for 2 years.
Yeah, until like you give him a decent team and he's like, oh, we're going to make some moves? Nah, get out of here, Clayton. You're not on the same page as us.
Mm. Yep.
You know, Tate Souse says his voice is just so annoying. It's fair. Really, he's got a tough voice. I mean, I will say that is the voice of somebody who does know baseball. I don't know.
Like, he knows. It sounds like he knows computer baseball.
Yeah, sure. But computer baseball has worked. It has worked. You know, he comes from a good organization. I just don't. I don't have any faith in these guys anymore. Like this is the what round of people running the organization since
Bruce
Sherman's taken
you said something that worries me, but I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with the message is the same, but the delivery is not as smug.
Oh.
And that is with what Sherman had to say.
He was a little smug yesterday, though. He upped his smugness, I felt like. And he was saying this thing in his opening statement at the press conference. And he's like looking around the room, right? And, you know, and he's like, I'll just let you hear it. And you tell me if you hear the thing that like made me kind of go, ugh. Because that was my reaction. I was like, that's what you're going with, dude?
But every day, there's some fans here. We're all fans. Besides employees and observers and media, and I'm really excited. I've never seen the organization do what it's doing now. Most people don't see it on the outside, but the amount of focus and the amount of talent that we're bringing to the front office is enormous. We're not only bringing numbers of people, high quality people, we're bringing new technology to the front office. We're bringing improvements to the clubhouse. We're spending a lot of money and a lot of effort in things that you don't see. So we're really happy as an ownership group to be bringing that to the city of Miami and all of South Florida. So with that, I'm really excited about Clayton, and I'm going to turn it over to Peter and Clayton. Thank you.
Sorry, I know I was a little bit late there to the party. Sorry, Bruce.
Why is everybody wearing the same suit?
I don't know. Maybe team colors or something.
What just happened to that mic?
So there wasn't really anything. There wasn't. I know what part got you.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a lot of things you don't see.
And spending money.
Particularly. And spending money.
We're spending a lot of money on things people don't see. I'm like,
all right. So here's what I would say. I would say that there's nothing wrong with building a good infrastructure.
Of course not.
And a good support system before you go out and bring the actual product in, right? That being said, the money that you would spend to win indoors is not going to be anything close to what you have to spend outdoors to win games. And if you never do that, you're going to have a problem winning. And dude, every other owner has said the same thing.
I'm really like, I don't get hung up on the payroll stuff as much as everybody else is, because like they're not going to hang with payroll in a division with the Braves, Mets, and Phillies. It's just never going to happen.
Correct.
But I have just been. I was talking about this with somebody last night. Like, I can't remember the last time the Marlins were able to draft and or trade. I guess Jazz kind of, but Jazz was always hurt and he never really put together a monster season, you know, like a full season. He either had a great first half and then he was gone. I am struggling to think of the time where I was like, I am pumped about these guys all the time. They've had pitchers. They've had great pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it's been too long to have that guy every day you're excited to watch. And then like, if you're going to come out with Xavier Edwards and Norby, and I hope so, but I don't know. Like, you know, and I think that's the thing.
Never had the last surefire guy that everybody said, oh, he's going to be a player, would have to be Yelich, right?
Yelich, Stanton, Ozuna, yeah.
Stanton, Ozuna, right. And you didn't even keep those guys. And the reasonings behind it, and keep in mind, when Yelich left, he wasn't making a whole lot of money. I know no. Stanton was.
And they blew that trade. Like, that was supposed to be the gold mine. You trade a guy like that at his age with that cheap a contract, you're supposed to, like, and they didn't hit anybody. It's not as bad as the Miguel Cabrera trade, but it's arguable. Like,
So here's the thing. The way I see the Marlins is, they're afraid to spend money because every time they get one of these prospects or draft a player that ends up getting to the point that you want them to get to,
yeah,
you trade them before you have to pay them. And the guys you bring in are never any good. And so at some point, you got to change one of the two things.
Look, I don't know what AI Peter Bendix has got rolling up there in that front office that they're spending all this money that they're proud of spending off the field that we don't see. But give me some fun players to watch, dude. Come on. Like, let's go. Enough already.
Here's the deal. The money that you would spend, again, in the front office would barely get you an average player. So what are we talking about?
Yeah, for sure.
So if you say I spent $10 million in infrastructure and facilities and whatever, like, that don't even get you an everyday player.
Look, you could run a deli and have the best meat slicer, but if you don't have quality meat, you're going to go out of business.
Yeah, okay. All right. That one, you hit on it.
Know your audience, though. Deli meat.
It was much better than that last one.
A tiptoe down the sidelines?
Yes. After review, the runner remain inbounds.
What else you got for us, Marcos?
By the way, don't know if you saw this. Post Malone headlining Coachella this year.
That's great, right? Really?
Yeah, indeed.
That means we're going to see 17 artists?
Three are going to be the main headliners. He's probably going to close out the show. But
No. I'm saying his part of the show going to have 17 artists.
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell. Is this a real quote?
No, it's... It says that apparently there's one of three main acts for Coachella, which likely means he'll close out the whole thing. But don't worry, Tobin, if you want an opportunity to speak to him, this kicks off his big-ass stadium tour, apparently. He'll be in Miami, Florida, June 8th, but unfortunately, no Jelly Roll, according to this. He will not be...
Well, Jelly Roll's going to be in Tortuga anyway, so you're fine.
There you go. You have an opportunity to. But that's not in the mixed bag, Tobin. Enough of your obsession with him.
What?
Jesus.
Which, by the way, after the show yesterday, I got an email saying that our station's giving out Post Malone tickets. And I just thought it was perfect timing.
Look at that.
You're trolling me, Jennifer.
I promise you I got the email.
Yeah, but after.
Troll your boat.
Papa Roach first. Yesterday I did see something, an article came out. The numbers are officially out. Paul versus Tyson. Want to know how much they made at the gate, gentlemen?
Go ahead.
$13 million?
$18.1 million. The highest for a fighting event outside of Vegas and the ninth highest sporting event gate in the history of ticketed events.
Not very surprised by that. That is not surprised indeed.
Unfortunately, the damage is continuing to be done with this whole Jake Paul thing, though. Did you guys see who was actually chirping at Jake Paul yesterday?
Who isn't chirping at Jake Paul?
It seems to be everybody wants a piece of that pie. Better Beeve offers a title shot to Jake Paul. Is that something?
Not how you say his name.
Artur Beterbiev?
Artur Beterbiev.
What? What?
Wait. Okay. I was like, I'm more than sure that's not how you say that.
He's the light heavyweight champion.
Yeah, didn't he recently fight?
He fought Beevil. Probably got the generous nod, if I'm honest.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's time.
If I'm honest, I think Beevil probably should have won that fight.
Is that something you'd be interested in seeing, or you're just completely over this?
I got to be honest with you. Man. I think
he'd get pummeled.
I think the greatest thing about Jake Paul is he has to start putting himself in harm's way.
This is harm.
Well, if he wants people to be like, if you want to break the Tyson record, then yeah, you do. Then yes, you have to put yourself in harm's way. But I got to be honest with you, dude. I find it nearly embarrassing from these boxers that are all like, I'll fight. I'm like, dude, you're the lineal light heavyweight champion of the world. Daniel Dubois has a piece of the heavyweight title outside of Usyk. Like, you guys need to go pick a fight with Jake Paul because you know that you'd kick his ass instead of a 60-year-old Mike Tyson. Like, I would hope so.
That check.
You know what I mean? I understand the check is huge, and that's why everybody's doing it.
Here's what I don't get. You know it's called prize fighting, right?
Mm-hmm.
You fight for money.
You're a champ. But Leroy, there also has to be a standard.
But here's why that's possible. It's possible because where you fight or box won't make you as much money as if you fight in Looney Tunes.
And if
that's a crime.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's
so
fine.
It's not their fault.
It actually is. Like, if you're not that big of a draw, that's on you. Not every fighter deserves to make $30 million. If people don't want to watch you, people don't want to watch you.
Okay.
The idea that if you're a standing champion right now, like if Andre Ward wants to do it, you've done everything there is to do, and he wants to come out of retirement and do it. I get that. Okay. Deontay Wilder, you've done everything there is to do in the sport. Cool. I'm cool with that.
Plus, you need a little comeback because you've been getting your ass.
Like, you want something like, fine. If you're the reigning, defending, four-belt champion of the sport, and you're like, I'll fight Jake Paul. Come on, dude. Go fight. Why don't you do me a favor, Beterbiev? Go put a better performance against Beevil, okay? Because you got away scot-free with that. And Daniel Dubois. Like, come on, dude. How about you do this? Do me a little favor. Fury, Usyk, put your mind on them, all right? You already got your ass kicked by Usyk. So stop worrying about Jake Paul. You should be able to beat Jake Paul.
Hmm.
It's like when this stuff happens, I'm like, all right. especially the guys who are like his size, you know, like even like Gervonta Davis. I'm like, all right, so like the little man's got to go in there, the wee man's got to go in there with his uppercuts to go fight Jake Paul. Like, this is the, you guys are this, are you guys really this upset about Jake Paul, or no, are you guys just trying to get that cash?
They're trying. It's called prize fighting, right? The only reason why they have the belts is because you get more money when you fight with the belt. Okay? If they didn't have to have the belt and pay these organizations a bit of their money, and they could go make similar money doing Looney Tunes, they would do Looney Tunes. Yeah, but
nobody knows it's who they are.
Prize fighting.
Nobody knows, like, who really, like, hit, unless you're just like, hey, this guy might fight Jake Paul, who will kill him. Like, that's the attraction. They don't really care about seeing Better BF fight. You don't really get to know how good Better BF is. You don't really get to know how good Dubois is.
Right. But again, the Jake Paul thing wouldn't be, nobody would care until they start showing the numbers that he gets from these fights. And look, and guess what? Him and 58-year-old Mike Tyson drew better than some of the championship fights you've seen in recent history.
Of course. But okay. Mike Tyson's one of the biggest pay-per-view stars of all time.
Okay. So, clearly, as much as you want to hate on Jake Paul, as much as a lot of people are over his act, what he is doing is getting people paid.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You guys also aren't watching like all the other stuff. They're not doing monster numbers like this. I agree with like the thought process of, yeah, the Jake Paul thing had a factor in it for sure. But I think a lot of it had to do with Tyson.
Okay.
Like Tyson has a piece of sports culture and culture, yes, and pop culture that, yes, spans generations.
Here's what the amazing thing about Tyson is. It's been 20 years since he won a fight.
Yeah.
And still, people got excited to see him back in the ring. There's not a bunch of people. And furthermore, with all the stuff that he went through at the end of his career, to still have people clamoring to see him in a ring is even more amazing. So he's a one-of-a-kind deal.
I think Jake Paul's
that is a unique, more unique than I guess any of us thought.
Yeah. Anything else, Froggy?
No, but you're pronouncing that wrong, by the way. It's Daniel Dubois. Sorry, I'll see myself out. I wanted that 4 minutes ago. I apologize.
Minus one.
I just didn't like that.
Well, yeah, we got a little, we have something that has come across my wire. And we could just file this under the old Tobes was right category.
What?
We'll get to that coming up next. All right.